So last Sunday, really the only thing that you needed to hear from the sermon was that God gets us into the place, he allows life and circumstances to bring us to the place where all we have, our only option is to look up. And of course, that means to look to God. And today, really the only thing you need to hear is that God wants your heart. That's what's important to God, is who you are on your inside. It's not just a romantic ideal or some sort of sentimentality, but if that helps you think that and get there, then go that route as well. But the heart means your inner core, your essence, who you are when nobody is watching, who you are in an unguarded moment or a state of intoxication. That's what God wants. He wants all of you, and he wants that core of you. So why do I say that? Well, because of this juxtaposition in Isaiah, where, again, God, through the prophet, is saying, tell my people, convict them of their transgression, and the people are saying, listen, God, we like you. We hang out all the time with you. We do all this kind of ritual and sacrifice and fasting. Boy, you should see us fast. Wow, we're like some of the best fasters around. And God says, you don't get it yet. That's not the point. Is this what I asked, really? That you would humble yourself and bow in ashes and sackcloth? And no, this is the fast. That you act as my children, loving the unlovely, ministering out of your surplus the need of others, etc. And then Jesus is entering into a similar category here. We had the Beatitudes in this Sermon on the Mount, and there's this little transition piece, and then Jesus is going to re-give the law. He's going to say, you heard it said, and it was said by God to Moses. It's part of the law, thou shalt not kill. But I say to you, if you have anger in your heart, you're already guilty. And so Jesus is doing the same thing. He's saying, God did not want you to stick with the surface here, to master some sort of control of your instincts so that you don't actually act on them. God wants you to be different inside so that killing would never be a potential for you, because you never gave in to anger, because anger was whatever, dealt with, resolve, given over to God. I mean, there's any number of ways in which anger can be dealt with. And then Paul in Corinth tells us why we keep making these mistakes, thinking about God as if he was a rule keeper, thinking about religion or Christianity as if it were a matter of making sure the good outweigh the bad, keeping a list, looking around you and going, oh, I'm not doing too bad because look at so-and-so, or look, oh, my goodness, well, we must be doing really good because look at what they're doing or what he or she is doing. All of that we fall into and have before Jesus came and after Jesus came. Potentially we fall into that. And Paul tells us why, because at the end of this passage he says, the natural person, and he's using this word, this isn't the unspiritual person, this is just humanity outside of the access to God or the input from God, from the Spirit. That human can't know the things of God, just can't receive them. It's just meaningless. It's not even on the radar. They cannot accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to them. They cannot understand them, because they're accessed spiritually. It's a spiritual comprehension. It's a spiritual understanding. It's a spiritual appraisal. That word appraisal probably isn't very helpful to us, but they were struggling with how to get at the Greek word. So making an evaluative conclusion about the relative merits or significance or even the value or even the presence of certain things. And so because the natural man, the natural human, cannot receive these things of God unless the Spirit lead, guide, open them up, enlighten them, reveal them, as Paul has said, right? These things are now accessible to us because God has revealed them. He has given us his Spirit. But the person for whom that is not their current experience, are their the light they live in, they all they can do is look at the outside of this. And what's humanly logical is that God would ask us to keep rules. And what's humanly logical is that I am, in fact, doing better. I am better than someone else who is doing X, Y, Z. That's human. That's understandable. That makes sense. It's foolishness to say it doesn't matter what you did yesterday or today. You come straight into the very throne room of God to receive mercy and forgiveness and healing. That's foolishness. Right? That doesn't make any sense unless the Spirit opens our heart and mind to it. And it doesn't matter how long you've heard it and how many times you think you say that or believe it, say you believe it, until the Spirit turns that light on or opens your heart, it's not, you're still bouncing off the surfaces of it. So God wants your heart. He's not particularly interested in how much Bible study you've done or how much Bible reading you do or how much you've memorized. He's not particularly interested even in your good works. I mean, that's the other danger, is that we can take, oh, so God, you want us to give our money away and to help the poor and all that, which is, of course, foolishness again, but I can do it because that's what you want, God, and we can make that mechanical. We can make that a new way of keeping a list. God wants your heart. He wants you just to come and say, open me to you, God, that I might receive your love in my deepest part. Would shame keep me away, keep those doors closed? If so, then give me courage and confidence to share my shame with you. Would pride keep me out? That somehow I want to be better than other people. I want to sort of earn my way. I want to have some bragging rights. I want to have some trophies. Then God, teach me how to be like Christ, who was meek and humble. I want that. I just want to be open to you. What might block me from coming to you to receive? Because without the Spirit drawing us and teaching us and enlightening us, we all bounce off the surfaces of God. And therefore, we keep, we're immune to his work, his healing work, his power, his transformation. When you carry a shield, you keep bad things out, but you also keep good things out. When you lock off your spirit and your soul from God, his mercies that shower down daily bounce off you. It's like having an umbrella in a rainstorm. Get rid of the umbrella, get rid of the shield. Brothers and sisters, open your hearts to God. And as you come today to commune with him, receiving again, saying yes to this logic of foolishness that is greater than human wisdom and weakness that is stronger than human power, the cross, that is, Jesus' self-giving, come with open hearts. Let go. What might keep you, hinder you from receiving today? Let's pray. Well, God, it would be just silly if we were to say, okay, thank you for that, now I can go do that, because you're just pointing us to your Spirit. So come, Holy Spirit. You not only search God and know the things of God, you search us and know us. So help me open that door that I keep closed, to undo that bolt that I've locked, not only you, but the rest of the world out, or whatever it is. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal to me the things of God so that I might say yes. Give me the courage, the hope, the confidence to run to meet you.